Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about love that one.
Hey, this is John Gruden.
We went ahead and made a commitment to the Bears and ponied up and got the suite. It's been a big disappointment.
Well, you're a hard guy to please. Don't forget that. You're a hard guy to please.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, and
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
720 WGN high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studios, the Jim Bob Show game day edition, heard here and on great stations all around the country. And Jim Bob, we're lucky to have this guy. He's on the recruiting trail right now.
We're interrupting his day. He's going to be pissed.
The head coach of our Fighting Illini.
I don't want him coaching me up today because I've seen him and he's just like me. I got a great story to share with him in a second. But welcome, Bradley Cole Underwood, the head coach of the University of Illinois Fighting Illini. What's up, coach?
Jim Bob, the last time somebody called me Bradley Cole was my mother when I was 12 years old, and I was grounded for like 2 weeks.
Hey, I guarantee
after you,
this is a formal show.
Jack Hartman called you worse. I know that.
Jack Hartman did call me a lot worse. The stare was miserable. Yes, you know, there was a picture, Jim Bob, in Kites.
Oh yeah,
you remember Kites Barn Grill?
Yeah. Almost
and there was
bought
a picture
it.
Of there was a picture of Coach Hartman with his hands out. And somebody put on there the, you know, a mimic that was coming out of his mouth of Underwood, you're absolutely the worst player I've ever coached. And then said, you gave me my heart attack. And so, I did hear an impact player. I did hear a lot from Coach Hartman. Back in the day.
Did you hear Dane? He goes, "You are an impact player. You cause people to have a heart attack."
That's an intangible skill.
No, hold on. This is the lighter side of Brad Underwood. Because if you know Coach, and I love him, is that I got to tell you, Coach, real quickly, is that you know I love your coaching style, and I love you. Is that so? A quick story. So you know, I coached my kids, and so I coached him in the AYBT and AAU and all that stuff, and so I would travel all over, and I would get the parents together, and I would fly everybody to Iowa, and it'd be like we had like three black suburban cars, and they're all following us, and we look like Secret Service, and we go to this game in Iowa. And my kids get beat by 5 points of a team that we beat by 30 points like the week before in Chicago. And I am just pissed off. Okay. I'm so mad. And we're driving to the next tournament game, which is another town about 15 miles away. And the kids are in the back going, blah, 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 blah. You know, they're all screaming and having high five and talking smack and talking about, you know, what they're going to be and everything. And I slam on the brakes, stop the car. Everybody else, you know, the three cars behind me stop too. I turn around and I go, "Do you know what the sound of defeat sounds like?" And they all look at me and, you know, the guy goes, I was pissed off and I'm right in their face. I go, "The sound of defeat is silence. You guys lost to a team that you beat by 33 points just 4 days ago. None of you are playing Division I. None of you are going to go to the NBA. You're going to go to Hobson, this junior college over here, if you're lucky. I said, shut up. And so, you know, my buddy Big Tony's in the car with me and we're driving a little further. And then we go about a mile and then blah, 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 my kid starts it. Then other kids, I turn back around and I look at him and he goes, "Dad, we're in third grade."
That is
Brad Underwood, folks. If you don't know him, I will tell you that's exactly who he is.
Oh, I love your son. What a great response.
He's smarter than me. You've met James is something, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But hey, let's get to you and everything. Let's reflect on your season and let's talk a little bit about some of the key factors that you guys performance in the tournament and so forth. Let's give your assessment.
Yeah, it was an interesting year. One, we had a really high ceiling. And then in 38 years of doing this, Jim Bob, I've never been through a year where we were so hit by the flu and injury and right in the heart of it. We went to Oregon and Washington right after the new year. And right after that, you know, Thomas Love is out with mono. And we had a 5-week stretch where we had him in 3 practices. And he was the ignition switch. He's the one that made us go. You know, then we lose Merez Johnson to a broken wrist. And our kids, we had 10 new guys. We were the youngest team in the tournament. We had, I think, 132 total minutes of NCAA tournament experience. And I've never had more fun coaching a group. This group loved to play. They had a youthful exuberance. I had tremendous appreciation for how hard they worked. Great, great people. They were connected. We just hit a lull in the middle of the year where it was really hard to get better because we couldn't practice. And when you're older, you can get away with that a little bit. When you're young, we needed to mature together, and we kind of hit that stumbling block, and we didn't get healthy till the Big Ten tournament. And you know, by that time, you're not practicing a lot. Everything's pretty restricted. But you know, we had some great wins. We played a very, very difficult schedule on purpose, which I'll always do. But you know, it was fun to see Will Riley add 25 pounds and what his game developed to. Kasparis is going to be a lottery pick, you know, and to see the young kids grow was really fun. And then we got tremendous leadership from Kylan Boswell. We got tremendous leadership from Thomas Love. He's a natural born leader, but it was a great group. Ben Humerkaus is a tremendous young man, and just watching him develop and grow. So it was a interesting year. It was a fun year, and yet I never thought we quite got to our ceiling because of injuries and sickness.
Well, you know, the dynamics as you evolved throughout the season, you did a great job outlining that for us and so forth. And then you and I have talked about before, every year, the integration of new players and, you know, your jobs today, your job and the rest of Division I coaches with everything that we've got going on, you know, on the NIL and the portal, it's so incredibly hard. And so I was going to ask, you know, how have you changed your coaching style with, you know, every year with the integration of the new players and so forth? What have you had to learn yourself?
Well, I think the one thing we've tried to never change is our culture. And that's who we are, what we stand for. I'm a very big standards guy. We ask our players what they want their standards to be. And then I think it's my job to help them live up to those standards. But our culture, our work, don't come to Illinois if you don't want to work hard. If you don't want to work to get better, this isn't the place for you. We're going to ask that you play really hard. We're going to ask that you work. I'm a big, big believer in character. I think character wins. And, you know, it's a pretty small pool who can play in the Big Ten. And so finding those guys with a work ethic, with undeniable character that want to win, that's a big part of it. But the other thing for me personally is just not being afraid to change. We've got a way we like to play, you know, you've got to tweak certain things every year. And, you know, a year ago we had Marcus Domask. We played a lot of booty ball. This year we had one of the best ball screen point guards in the country in Kasparis. So it looked a little different, but yet the concepts were the same and the culture was the same.
You mentioned the Big Ten tournament and even just the competition level, and you as a Big Ten guy. And, of course, even though WGN, we reached 38 states, the Midwest, it's a Big Ten listening audience and all that kind of stuff Jim Bob mentioned, and all the changes, right, that are happening. Just your thoughts on, you know, college basketball and the traditions around it, just the Big Ten becoming, is it like the Big 18?
The Big, right? Big 35.
Right, yeah. And you have like USC and UCLA and all that stuff. Like, if, as an insider, you know, that dynamic, how do you feel about it?
I'm excited about the growth. I think basketball's ready to launch. I think it's great. And I'm going to use an example, and it's a good and bad thing. You know, is the amount of money gambled on college sports and basketball. That's it. To me, that's interest. Now you've got to educate your people not to do that and be around it. But it just shows the interest of it. And I think that's great. I think the one thing that is continuing to form as basketball is the only sport that truly hasn't expanded. You look what football's done with the CFP. You know, a few years ago, Major League Baseball expands the wild card, and they put the wild card in the NBA. I think there's a tremendous inventory out there for college basketball amongst the streaming networks and entities to really grow the game. I would love to see us expand the NCAA tournament. I would love to see it. Maybe even a different format, best of three, after you get by the opening weekend.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that idea.
So I think there's just tremendous growth out there. And I think we've got a box that we've lived in for forever. And we can't be afraid to break the box and look at something different. So I think the game's better than it's ever been. I think the viewership is great. I think the Big Ten is absolutely incredible institutions, great coaches, great players. It's, you know, we had a group of freshmen this year in the Big Ten that maybe rival any league ever. I mean, in terms of talent and where they're going to go in the draft. And so we got coaches that are recruiting at a really high level. We've got very, very knowledgeable fans. And of course, none better than the Illini Nation. I mean, we are sold out every night. They travel. It's just an unbelievable league to be a part of. And the expansion has helped. And we're now coast to coast, and that's okay. That's creating interest and allowing us to be really, really special. I believe that.
You know, I appreciate that. And I think that opening up some new venues, I really do. I don't know if you'll be able to get that change. I think everybody likes the excitement of the NCAA tournament, but I do like the concept of, hey, once you get past the stage, my bracket is perfect. I will tell you, no disrespect to you, coach, but I will tell you, I watched those teams play all year, and they were all long. They were all athletic. And I go, man, I'll just tell you, when you start looking at the top 10, I didn't feel there was anybody that wasn't in the top 10 that was going to make it to the tournament just because of the athletic ability of those players that we're seeing, you know, that were the number ones. I was curious, you know, you played, you know, two good teams, Xavier, you know, Kentucky. What'd you learn from those games in this tournament this year?
You know, I think the one thing that was very evident most of the year, and we played five SEC opponents this year, and the SEC is very old. They had a remarkable year, I think 14 teams in the tournament, but they're all old, except with the exception of Duke. Mm-hmm. They're all very big. You know, I think that was the one thing that, you know, you look at Kentucky and they had, you know, at least two big guys on the floor. You look at Florida in the Final Four, Auburn, very, very big. But there's probably a generational talent group in the freshmen at Duke. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, all those teams are old. Mm-hmm. And they're very big. And, you know, I think that there was, without question, the best four teams made. I enjoy seeing that. You know, you obviously wish your team was there. But those four teams have been great all year. And the styles of play are a little bit different, but yet they're still very, very similar in the makeup of what their teams look like. And I just thought it was, you know, we played Duke. We played a lot of the number two seeds, obviously, with Michigan State and Alabama. But they all kind of had the same characteristics and age and size was a big part of that.
Yeah. We were doing the brackets and we did a special on the show and people were asking me, you know, what do you look for? And I go, well, I will tell you, I've always been a big fan of coaches, whether it's football coach or basketball coaches. And, you know, you're one of my favorite coaches. I love the way you coach and I love your pedigree and so forth. I mean, I know everybody, you know, that you coached with and those guys and their pedigrees. I mean, you know, Coach Martin, my goodness gracious, there wasn't anybody more, you know, and but anyhow, I always said, start with the coaches. I look at who's coaching and then I will tell you, I don't think three-point shooting travels very well. I think defense travels a lot better than three-point shooting. And I always tell everybody, I go, what teams, you know, got the high defense efficiency? And I go, and then that guard play. And we saw some great guard play this year, and we've seen it. But I always like senior guard play, which is hard to get these days. But you know, there's a real dynamic between watching a senior guard and a freshman guard. I want your take on that.
Oh, no doubt. And I think you look at just the evolving of Alabama, Mark Sears. We saw Mark Sears when he was a freshman at Ohio. We played them here at Illinois, and now you get a fifth year, and he's a first team All-American. And the best thing about freshmen is they become sophomores, and you just hope you get to coach. You just hope you get to coach them as sophomores. Just that people have no idea how hard it is to be a good college player. The year Kasparis had this year is incredible. I mean, it's he's in the record books at Illinois in so many different areas because we've had great guards at Illinois.
Yeah.
And he just set the world on fire. And yet, you know, we play Kentucky, a guy, Lamont Butler, it was his 13th NCAA tournament game.
Right.
And so experience, you know, breeds confidence. Confidence allows you to get to the next level and be great. And, you know, and then you just throw in the simple things, being in a weight room for multiple years,
mm-hmm.
you know, understanding what the natural maturation of your body's like. And so I think there's tremendous value in that. You don't, you're going to have to play some young guys at different times, but you know, you look at the guards in this tournament, Florida's guards, they're all old.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the Kelvin Sampson's, they're all old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you go right on down the list and, you know, Duke's playing, you know, Duke's got a senior point guard. And so there's just tremendous advantages to having a grown man out there.
Yeah. In regards to, you know, this year's tournament and so forth, I mean, I said, you know, weeks ago, we were talking about this and I said, hey, I'm just telling you, the number ones are going to be in the Final Four and that's the bottom line. And everybody goes, come on, you don't have anybody. I go, the one team I was surprised by, I thought Calamari did a good job with Arkansas. I thought he took them. But was there any team that you were particularly surprised with in the tournament that kind of came out of nowhere and surprised you?
You know, I thought that, and I'm like you, I thought the four best teams were there and are here. And I'm actually in San Antonio. I flew in last night. But, you know, I thought the only teams that maybe had a chance were some of the number twos. I wouldn't have been shocked if Izzo made it, if Tom's team made it. Tom was they were old and they were very deep. And they had it. And Jace Richardson, as a freshman, probably played himself into the lottery or close to it, was really evolving into that go-to guy. Then I think the you know, maybe the other team that I thought was sensational all year and they kind of hit a little flat spot late was Missouri. I thought Missouri was as good and they had lot of size. They had an explosive player in Mark Mitchell, but I thought they could have made a run because of their depth and their size. But mm-hmm.
Cost but me
I
money.
I think we got the four best teams there, and yeah. I really believe that. And you know, we played UConn last year in the Elite Eight, and I said UConn was as good a basketball team as I've ever seen. And then after playing Duke this year, they're different.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can get beat, and they've proven that. But I just think they've got exceptional talent, and you know, be interesting to interesting to see how they continue to grow.
Yeah.
Jim, I mentioned the importance of coaching, and obviously great coaches make great teams that do great things. Just your thoughts on, you know, have been, you know, as a player and obviously been having been coached and obviously knowing a lot of these contemporaries in the college basketball world, the short time with players has always been sort of an issue with the NBA. And now you've got the NIL and the portal and all that. Just your thoughts on that skill set, the skill set to be able to manage that situation, to keep people engaged for a program, things that maybe you didn't have to contend with in years past. And you've got coaches like Tom Izzo still doing it at a high level, but you got guys like maybe a Bobby Knight that may not be a fit in a today's type world. Just your thoughts on that, the extra needs and maybe talents that coaches need to succeed today.
Yeah, I think we're becoming a little more CEO than ever before. I think we're having to manage a lot more things. You know, timing is so different today. You know, we got beat by Kentucky and we bust home from Milwaukee and we're sitting on the bus. And I mean, it was immediately shift gears right into the portal and right into recruiting. And we haven't stopped since.
Mm-hmm.
And because of timing. So there's, you know, you used to be able to reflect. You used to be able to have recruiting done by now, or maybe you needed one kid, you knew what your team looked like. So adaptability is a big part of it. I think it's interesting in the Final Four, you've got two elder statesmen, so to speak, and two younger guys. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to do it. I think it still goes about you know, you, the accountability and responsibility that you get your teams to play with, the demands you play with. There's a lot of ways to skin the cat, so to say, and in terms of styles of play. But, you know, it's all about what you do in the locker room to get those kids to play together, whether they've been there, you know, 6 months or whether they've been there 3 years. Mm-hmm. And the great coaches get that chemistry, demand the leadership, get the leadership in the right perspective so they all play together for a common goal.
When, you know, you talk about evolving in the coaching, you know, I've had conversations about, you know, it's a difficult changing environment with NIL and portal and so forth. But, you know, we do a lot of work with our various companies on personas, and we look for a typical persona. And so, you know, we talk about leadership. You talk about leadership within teams. When you're recruiting off portals and you're looking at putting this next team together and so forth, how do you go about assessing the leadership capabilities? Because it's so critical to have real leaders step forward. Have you guys developed a persona or, you know, I mean, like, hey, are there particular interview questions, you know, that you ask an 18, 19 year old kid in regards to, you know, how do you spot that?
Well, you know this better than anybody. And I mean, it's leadership's harder and harder to find. You know, we've got a culture where young people are on their cell phones constantly. And, you know, I say this about leadership. It's especially with young people, it's so hard to find because kids want to be liked. Mm-hmm. and they get the dopamine rush from a cell phone all the time. And you know, you've got to be able to tell your teammates sometimes hard things, even though they're good friends of yours.
Yeah.
And that's not easy to do. We get personality tests, and we've turned down a lot of players, a lot of players that don't fit what we're doing. And that comes from selfishness to, you know, being a great teammate to finding their competitive drive. Very, very hard to find a lot of competitive people. There's a lot of people who think they are, but they have no idea what winning looks like. And so it's the personality tests have been fabulous for us in terms of helping develop, and maybe not as much the talent as it is the person and the character that they are and what they bring to the table in other aspects other than a jump shot.
I got to tell you a funny story. I was at MJ's course here with Chelios and Brett Hull and Gretzky and these guys. And George Kohler was there, who's MJ's good buddy. I don't know if you've ever met George, but yep. George tells a story. I think the Bulls might have been playing like Sacramento. I'll mess the story up, so don't quote me on this exactly. But George says, so they're down by like 22 at halftime, and Michael comes in and slams the door shut and locks the coaching staff out. And George is trying to get out. And Michael goes, "You stay right here, damn it." And he tells George to stay put. And he goes, "You keep them damn coaches out of here." And he goes down and curses out every player. He goes, "Steve Kerr, if you're not going to shoot the blankety blank ball, I'll shoot it. I want your paycheck." And then we had 3 7 footers on the Bulls. He goes, "You guys are 21 feet of blank." and he goes on to Pippen, and he goes on to everybody and just reams them. And then he reams them, and then they're knocking on the door, and they're trying, coaches are trying to get in and everything. And finally, you know, they break and they go out there. They were down by 22 and everybody's all fired up, and they go, "Let's go, let's go." And so they go out, and I go, "Well, how'd that turn out?" And George goes, "We lost by 37. He said, so Michael and I were back at the hotel, and Michael's having a cup of coffee, and he says, he's smoking a cigar, and he's looking out the window. And George, he says, I hadn't talked to him since he cursed at me to keep the damn door shut. And I look over to him and he says, just to break the ice, I go, "Great speech, General Patton." And he ran out the door. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it's funny the way he presented that, because, you know, Michael was a heck of a leader, and he was the guy that, you know, he motivated. And I just think it's so tough today, you know, to find the young kids that to demonstrate that leadership quality. And I was curious how you guys did it. I appreciate the fact that you guys are doing personality tests and stuff like that. I think that's really important. You know, with you, I know you got to run and you're on the recruiting trail and so forth, but we got the Final Four, and I told you earlier offline, I've been inspired by Auburn this year, And I'm not for sure. Yep. I think that, you know, Florida's really tough. Duke is tough. But I'm taking, you know, I'm taking those, I'm taking Duke and Houston, the underdogs on this Final Four. What's your thoughts on, because, you know, you gotta play on this one.
Well, I like Auburn. Jani Broome is one of the great stories. I mean, he started his career at Morehead State. So that'll tell you how exact the recruiting science is. You know, out of high school, these kids develop into, you know, he's National Player of the Year. Good. But, you know, I really like Duke's talent. I think it's generational. They're elite on the defensive side. They've got one of the best two-point field goal defenses. They protect the rim at a really high level. You know, you get in some of these domes, it gets a little more challenging to shoot. But if you're going to have me take one, I'm going to take Duke. I thought they were as good a team as I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Coach, I know you're on the recruiting trail. You're at the Big Four and everything. And I really do. We appreciate you taking the time to get on the line with us. And you've built something special, Illinois. You're one of my favorite coaches. And, you know, this year's squad showed, you know, Brad Underwood heart, grit, and a lot of pride. And I'm excited for you for next season. And we know that the faithful out there behind the fighting line are going to be excited too. So thanks for joining us. And I know, Dane, you want to say a couple words too, and we'll sign off.
Yeah, we'll have links up. Jim Bob mentioned the fan base. And so before we let you go, is there any place people can keep up? Are you sort of under the radar as you travel the country, getting the next best players? Or where can people go to keep up with you and the team?
That's a really good question, because I stay completely off all of that. So no, I got enough.
I got enough
to work.
I'll find you. Here, Brad's like this. I'll find you.
Yeah, don't call me. I'll call you.
They're gonna find their way. Our fans probably know more about what's going on in our program than I do.
I call Brad up and he goes, "How'd you get my number?" That's awesome, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, man, good luck with everything. See you, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.